All right. Thank you, young people. Gentlemen, on the flag folding. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you again, Candy, as you work with those young people. All right. I think we've got some young people that are heading back to Children's Church. All right, if you take your Bibles, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 1. All right, Joshua chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're grateful again. Thank you for this day that we can honor our veterans. We thank you, Lord, for the service that they have given to our country, willing to lay their lives on the line to do whatever it is that they were called to do. We thank you that we could honor those here today who have served our country. And we thank you, Lord, for your great goodness to us and your goodness to our country. Thank you for its rich history. We thank you for the things that we read about, the individuals that you've used, and what this country has become. Lord, we look at our country today, and it's certainly not what it once was, but we lift it up in prayer to you, and we pray that you would work in our country. We know that you are. We pray that you would work amongst the churches, amongst your people. We're called to be salt. We're called to be light. Help us to be faithful in these last days, to be witnesses for Christ, to live holy and godly lives that would honor Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, again, we're grateful for what we have. Lord, help us to be always grateful for what you've given to us. And so we pray, as we read of Israel's history, we see such a likeness of what you've given to us, and we want to be grateful and thankful for it. So we pray that you'd bless at this time, as we honor our veterans, that Christ would be lifted up and glorified, that you'd speak to hearts. Again, Lord, that you'd set me to the side, and I pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would be able to do his work. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we just read here in regard to Israel's history, and I love to read about what God did, how he used Joshua, who took the mantle from Moses, and then as God commanded him to lead his people really into a wonderful place, the promised land. That was Canaan. And the history of our country, America, is not too much unlike what we read here. I am grateful, again, and I've said it before, but I'm grateful to be able to be somebody who's lived in this country. I'm grateful to be an American. I'm grateful for the rich blessings that have been given unto this country, that have been given unto me. It is a wonderful thing to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Again, to be a part of this great heritage that we have. I don't think I've always appreciated it to the level that I should. I try to. But I'm grateful for, again, all that we have. I think of our wonderful history and what God did in forming this nation, of those who came over before our country was actually a country. I think I'm thankful for those pilgrims that came over and got established here, and they wanted religious freedom, but they also had a desire to evangelize the Native Americans. They wanted to evangelize the people that were here. What a great desire that they had, and how God just allowed them to, you know, through a lot of trials and through a lot of tribulations, but he allowed them to thrive and to grow over time. And then how he just began to set this country up before it became a nation. I think of the Great Awakening. I think of Jonathan Edwards. I think of that great message that he preached and how God just created a great revival that stirred hearts and that prepared people for what was to come. And then for this country and how it was established and how he used so many, many people. Again, Wednesday night I was talking about our first president, George Washington, and how God used him in battle after battle. And that man was just fearless to lead the troops and to go forth. And he was the first to go right at the front of the line. And there were times when he came back from battle with bullet holes in his coat. And God watched over him. It was just no accident. And he went up against, he and this little fledgling group of soldiers went against the great British army. And nobody would have given them any odds to have pulled that off. But it was God that was behind them, that they could see the victories that they saw. And I'm just grateful to, it would be foolish, folks, for any of us to think that this freedom that we have came, that it came without a price. It came with a great price, and it came with great sacrifice all the way from the beginning, all the way till now. Our freedoms came because individuals were willing to make great commitments. And I'm grateful for that. Some made those sacrifices directly on a battlefield, while many others did in numerous capacities in support of them. From the earliest wars that this country has battled through all the way to what we deal with presently, we have had valiant individuals who were committed to give of themselves for the good of the country. And that can never be understated, amen? And many of you that that stood and introduced yourselves and where you served and which branch you served in and for how long, we're so grateful for the commitment that you made. Even now, we certainly continue to face challenges all around the world. Everyone of our armed forces need the prayers of God's people. And, you know, as we pray as a church, we always want to be praying for those that are serving our country, those that are deployed, those that are overseas or wherever, that we would lift them up in prayer. May we be committed to be praying for our troops on a regular basis. Amen? Might we pray for the safety of all of our servicemen and women, and certainly for those that find themselves in harm's way. And let us pray for their success and victory on a daily basis. Let us pray for their families, for the things that they have to go through, for the sacrifices they have to make. And let us pray for their safe return home, that God will bring them back safely. Let us pray for the challenges and the difficulties that coming back home brings, things that we can't even really appreciate. I mean, I'll just state it right out that, you know, with the biggest stretch of my imagination, I think, yeah, how difficult that is, but I can't even scratch the surface. I can't even go there. And I think about those who have come back, wounded warriors, those that, you know, are never going to be the same physically and emotionally and even spiritually because of the things that they've seen, because of the things that they've had to experience. Now, I know we can't put ourselves in their skin, we can't put ourselves in their shoes, but we can certainly appreciate them, amen? Right. Folks, for those of us, again, you know, who have never really experienced what these individuals have gone through, we really, frankly, don't have a clue. And I'll just state it right out. But again, we can be grateful. And we can pray and let them know that we're praying for them. And I know that that means so much to them to know that we're praying. How good it is for folks to be able to sing, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing." We have a land. We have been granted so many liberties. This country is the greatest country that's ever been. And that's because God blessed it. And we get to take in, of all of the blessings. You know, it said that, you know, when people receive blessings, it's because somebody before made some sacrifices. And the last thing that we would ever want to do is just to rest on all of those blessings and just enjoy them. And yes, we enjoy them, certainly. There's nothing wrong with that. But it ought to be our mindset that whatever we can do, whatever sacrifices that we can make, that we're willing to make those sacrifices. It might not be along the same line, but sacrifices of whatever it is that God has called us to do, so that we think about those that are behind us that could receive some blessings because of our sacrifices. And that ought to be our mindset. That is what God's Word tells us over and over, that we're to give of ourselves so that somebody coming behind us can be blessed. We've become a very selfish nation if we don't think about those behind us. You know, it was Hezekiah who said, when Isaiah came to him and he had prayed because he was sick unto death, and God gave him 15 more years. And Isaiah said there was going to be some judgment coming, but he said it's going to happen down the road with your offspring and your grandchildren. And he says, good that there's going to be peace in my days. That was really a selfish statement that he made. Oh, well, it's good that we ought to be thinking about those that are behind us. I mean, I have children and I have grandchildren, and I want to see them grow up in a semblance of the country that I grew up in. I don't want to think, well, yeah, my time's almost done, so that doesn't really matter. I don't want to go there. I want to think about those that are coming up after us and whatever sacrifices that we can make. May we be willing to make them. Maybe that's just a sacrifice of giving more time and just praying and saying, God, please heal our country. Please heal our land. You know, we're in the midst of trying to figure out who's going to be our next president. And you know, that's created a lot of, consternation and worry in a lot of hearts. And, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't affect me. But ultimately, we know we've got to come to this conclusion as Christians that God's on the throne. And we've had a lot of years with other presidents in office that weren't exactly to our liking, but we made it through. So our hope is not in the White House. I still hope that this thing turns a certain way, and you know which way that I would love to see it turn, but we got to just give this to God. And whatever took place and all of the corruption and whatever cheating, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do. We just simply pray, Lord, you know, maybe our prayer shouldn't be give us who we deserve, because we deserve, you know, we've gotten so much more than we've deserved. And God's Word has stated that over many, many times. God's people have come to the Lord and said, boy, if we got what we deserved, it'd be horrible. So God has been so merciful to us, and maybe He'll be merciful this time around as this thing plays out. But folks, we are just incredibly blessed. We believe that we have a great God in heaven who, through these selfless servants who have served this nation, have obtained liberty for us. God used these individuals. We say emphatically, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Now, this great God has not only secured liberty to us as a nation, but just look at what He has given to us, you know, in this country for the, what, past 240 plus years, 244. It has just been phenomenal what we have been blessed with. But this awesome, incredible God that inhabits eternity, folks, has provided liberation of another sort, one that is on an individual level. You see, the Bible tells us that all men are held captive by their own sins and by the devil himself. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Bible tells us that, you know, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We were blinded, and we were lost, and the devil had his hooks in us, his claws in us, and it all started back when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and their fall brought a curse on everyone, on all of creation. All of that was passed down from generation to generation, the Bible says, and that certainly includes us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Folks, is there anybody here who has never sinned? No, the Bible says that we're all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners, and we were all condemned to die. The Lord Jesus Christ said that himself when he was speaking to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Folks, we were without Christ, and the Bible says we were without hope, and we were condemned. We were not in a good place, and we were in darkness, and the devil had his hands upon us. But the Word of God says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Amen. As it is written, it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That verse that I just brought up a few minutes ago in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And then it says that, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," in verse 23 of Romans chapter 3. Do you know that today? I don't want to just assume that just because I recognize everybody here, pretty much 95% of you, even maybe even a little bit more than that, that, hey, you're all saved. I don't want to come to that conclusion, because I've known people that have been in church for 20 plus years and have heard the gospel over and over and were not saved. And then down the road, they got saved and realized, I was in church all those years and heard the gospel, but I never placed my faith and trust in Christ. So I don't ever want to make that assumption that you may be here today, somebody I've known for years and years, and yet you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're a sinner today? The Bible says so clearly that our sin carries a price. We're told that the wages of sin is death in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. One of these days we're going to die. I've had opportunities to officiate oodles and oodles of funerals and memorial services. And I know one of these days, unless the Lord comes back and takes us off in the clouds and up to heaven, that there's going to be a day when there'll be a memorial service for myself, but there'll also be one for everyone here, unless the Lord comes back. And the Bible says that that's because of the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, it comes with a price. It's because sin brings death, the Bible says. And when you and I stand before God, you know, you and I are not going to be able to pay for our sins. We can't do anything about our sins. We are spiritually bankrupt. There's just no way that we can do anything about that. But here's the good news. Somebody paid the price for our sins. Somebody was willing to step out of heaven and put on a body and come to this earth and live a sinless life and then go to a cross and then be buried and rise again. That, yes, praise the Lord for that. That someone was obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says that but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what does it say? Christ, he died for us. Somebody was willing to pay your price and my price. He was willing to pay for our sin. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and many other passages that he took our sin upon him. And he became a sinner in our place, one who had never sinned. And that is amazing that the Lord said, I will become a sinner in their place. I will become their substitute on that cross. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. That means that Jesus Christ paid for our sins on that cross. And he made a payment that you and I could not possibly make. All we have to do, folks, is recognize in need of a Savior. With a heart of repentance. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, if we're willing to believe that Christ was risen again from the dead, it says that for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We simply must receive this great gift that God wants to give to us. That means that we simply, if we'll put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for our sins and that he was risen again, the Bible says that you and I can have eternal life. What a great thing that that is. God's word says, for whosoever shall call, this is Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You remember that day when you got saved? I certainly remember that day, and it's still very, very vivid in my mind when I came to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. What a great day that that was, and it remains the greatest day in my life, that the Lord was concerned about me and that he loved me and that he wanted to save me and that he did a work in my heart. I'm grateful for that, and I'll forever be grateful, and I praise him for what he's done in my life. Today, the Lord wants you to be saved. Maybe there is somebody here. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. He wants you to be saved. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. He didn't just choose this group to be saved and that group will go to hell and this group will go to heaven. No, he's given everyone the opportunity. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The Bible says that we all have that opportunity. It simply comes down to making a simple decision to trust Jesus Christ. And I ask you, won't you do that today? If you've never trusted in him as your Savior, the Lord wants to free you from your sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's a wonderful thing to be made free and to know that my sins have been covered by the precious blood of Christ. And so won't you get saved today if you're here without Jesus Christ? It is the best decision that you'll ever make in your life, bar none. And we've been greatly reminded today of what a commitment to sacrifice brings forth. It brings forth liberty to a nation. But at the highest level of freedom and liberty is what we can have in Christ because of his sacrifice. And so I say again, thank you to all of you veterans who served our country and whom God used to keep our country free. But praise the Lord for all that he has done, that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, then I hope you'll respond today. I hope you'll step out in the aisle in just a moment. I'll have Vicky or those that are going to play the instruments, and Brother Jason, as he'll lead us in the hymn of invitation, that if God's spoken to your heart, maybe it's just as a believer to be thankful for what we have as a nation. Maybe it's, whatever. God speaks to our hearts, and he knows what he needs to address with each and every one of us. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, then I would encourage you and persuade you to step out in the aisle, come forward. We'll have somebody to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And as I mentioned just a little bit ago, that's the greatest decision that we could ever make, is to know that we have eternal life and to put our faith and trust in Christ. So with that, I'm going to ask those come up, and let's go ahead and bow our heads right now, and we'll have the music begin to play. Maybe we'll get the piano player up here in time, but with our heads bowed, let's be in a spirit, in an attitude of prayer before the Lord. Maybe it's just an opportunity right now to just to thank him, to thank him for what we've been a part of. We've been a part of something special, and it is still special to be a part of this country and to be a part of what he's given to us. Maybe that's just what we need to do today in response to him, is just to be thankful for all that we have in Christ and being a part of a great nation. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, then my hope and prayer is that you'll, before this life's over, that you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Vicky will begin to play. I'm just going to have a short word of prayer. In just a moment, we'll sing. Father, we come to you today. Thank you once again Thank you for our country. Thank you for the opportunity to honor veterans. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that you loved us, you died on a cross for us, and that we can know you, and we can call you Savior. That's a great thing. So we just thank you for that. And thank you, Lord, that we have opportunities to serve you here. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to take a hymn book out. And Brother